Session number 12710, Mr. John Avery, reel 4.
Mr. J. Avery, reel 4. Have you got any other further memories of Mullins Vidam, Mr. Avery?
Well, yes, that, like, we went up to this attic, like, you know, right to the top of the house, and as I say, there was still the 3-0 ammunition that was left there from World War One, and it was still in, seemed to still be in reasonable good order, like, you know, as I say. It was a wonder how it was never found before and taken away, like, you know.
There were a number of signs of World War One occupation.
Yes. Well, as I say, the Somme, it was fought on there, and at the, or just down the road, yes, there was the old trenches, and there were still the old same bits of water bottle and old steel helmets and the old mess tins, like, you know, the old fashioned mess tins, not the same way as the Second World War. It was the old fashioned one. You could still recognise the emblem of that of the thing, like, with Arthur rusted away, like, and just the shape of them, like, there's some shape of them. You know, they were the mess tins of the 1914-18 war.
Did this cause any comments, seeing, you know, what your forefathers had been doing, lying around still?
Well, true, like, you know, the lads mentioned, like, you know, I said, the different way of the war was going, sort of style, like, you know, a different thing. We were just talk about imagining that village, but this land would be. Would be almost obliterated, sort of style, like, you know, just as I saw as a boy, like, and a lad, before the war, these war pictures, how they went across in the trenches, and we just imagined when we were there, like, how part of the place would be, like, you know what I mean? It just seemed to be as such, like, you know, and you could picture it in your mind, like, as you were standing there, you know, watching them, actually, men going out of the trenches, out of that particular place.
Didn't make any of you think in terms of, well, are we going to be like this, you know, lying around, what have you?
Well, no, I didn't come to this, you see, because then, I mean, we were thinking it was a different sphere, like, you know, a different way of fighting, because we were more mobile than 1914, you see. Men did all foot slugging and everything, but we did mobile, like, you know, we were movable, and that's how we went to, that's how we thought it would fight, be on. Because there was tanks, and, like, you know, it would be a bit faster moving war than the 1914. That's how we're, like, you know, we weren't directly sure of the thing, like, but that's what we had a glimpse of, because things would seem to happen faster than maybe they did in the 1914, you see what I mean? So we did have that sense of the thing of it, about it, like, you know.
Was there anything else at Mullins Vidam?
Well, as I say, the old chateau we were in, like, it said to me, as it was left there, as it left, it said to me, nobody think, because the stalls, like, you know, the barn places where the horses and such as that were still there, because we used one of them as There's a cool ghost there. Yeah.
There was no people living in, no civilians in the place when you were there.
Not in the chateau. Of course, just outside the chateau, there was the houses, like, you know.
Were you meeting the French, particularly the ladies, at this time?
Well, yes. They used to go in the cafes, like, you know, the wives get a beer and egg and chips, like, and pommes de terre, Fritz.
And how did you find the French in this area that you were in?
They seem to be all right, like, you know, but, you know, I mean, you, to me, they seem to be all right. They never seem to bother you a great deal, like, you know, but they were friendly enough when you went in to talk, like, you know, try to talk to you, know, try to understand them, like, you know. But, as I say, they seem to be all right.
Were there any...
To me, like, you know, maybe some... Were there... The lads might have had a different atmosphere of them as I had, but what I saw, met and talked to, like, they were pretty decent people.
Were there any problems with the young women in the area at all that was happening to the troops, involving the troops?
Not that I know. I never heard of anything happening or such like that. The only thing that really was outstanding, like there, it was the old Charlie Thompson. He belongs to Pennymore, I think he's dead now. I'm sure. He was in the chateau. He was in the old Indian. He was there with the artillery, I think, in India, and he was a heavyweight champion of the. Indian in India, like, you know, and he was with us. He was water boy. He was with the water cart, like, you know. And the only funny thing, the only thing outstanding, like, I can remember, that him, he got himself drunk, like, you know, and he sung this song, what they sang in India, like, you know. I saw a nigger with a, you know. That, you know, and he'd get himself some drink and he started to strip off, like, you know, on the top of the table and they, like, you know, then they had to calm him down, like, you know.
Was this in one of the French cafes or estaminets?
Yes, that's right, in one of the things. Like, and the French lasses, like, you know, giggling and laughing, like, you see. With that, I can't get him down. Ah, yes, and as I say, we went round these places and these little attics and up in the thing. We found these charge sheets from the Canadian. I think it was Canadian or Australian. I'm not quite sure which, as the memory isn't that thing. But there was charge sheets there for men that had venereal disease during the campaign in the 1914, and the punishment for self-inflicted, it was charged as.
So it was a self-inflicted illness or wound?
Yes, self-inflicted, you see. It wasn't by war, like, it was self-inflicted through these, going with these women sort of style, like, you know, every day. And the charges was there, like, you know, I'm just forgetting, like, exactly, but the charges, what the thing, I never studied it. I just said, we just glanced through it, and that was it. And we just knew what it, when you looked at them, there we were charged for such, like, we knew what it would be. Get a kind of sentence for the time they were.
Was that still a similar offence in your army?
Yes. Yes.
So you were still charged?
Oh, yes. You could charge, yes.
Did the army in any way attempt to warn you of the dangers of
this
kind
of thing? Oh, yes. Yes, you got all that thing. You got all that stress to you. Like, you know, when we first went into France, like, you know, told about all the forefathers in the First World War, like, you know. And as I say, that you, as you just, as I mentioned there, like, that it was rather peculiar when you come on these charge sheets, like, you know. But they, you were really, were told about it, like, you know. Because it was a chargeable offence, like, you know, it's like going ALW, like, you know, ALW, you know, and as I say, you made yourself sick. Yourself sick, not being like, how would we say it, like, sick by misadventure, sort of, sorry. I mean, I don't know, is that way, sort of, sorry. But with having VD, you would be charged with a criminal, is why you're a criminal to your body, sort of, sorry, aren't you?
Well, you, when the army were telling you about these dangers, did they try to give you some form of protection if you did have to go out, and or were men given that opportunity at all to for protection?
Well,
knowing that we're going to go out.
Yeah, well, the only we didn't get that in France at first. Actually, that didn't never happened. But the youth stress like that they used to go to these proper places, these brothel places. If so desire, because they were looked after, you see. I mean, they were respected, them women. And the say, like, when you went into them places, that the girl used to say long before, say, if you were clean, and give you a wash, all this sort of stuff before you ever had any contact. That was in one street, and we say when we were at Emron, was in Lowe's, not Lowe's, Lille, was the ABC street. You know. The lads used to go there, you see.
This was a notorious street for brothels.
Brothels, yes. But they were legitimate, like, you know, he didn't have the military priests. Abandon you from them, you could go down. Not like further afield, like when we're talking about Egypt and which is that place, they were different kettle of fish, like, you know.
You moved from Mullions to where?
Mullions to Emmen.
And what time would this be?
Oh, I couldn't like to say, be honest, really, I couldn't think that far much. I wouldn't like to guess. I know we went to Emron.
What were the conditions there that you were living in?
Well, they weren't outstanding, but they were just a thing. We went in a farmyard away at the top end of Emron. There was a church on the right on the corner, and we were on this farm through this arch, and we were up in this, like, up one of these old wooden stairs, up into this, like, a drying place, like, you know, we had that there. Our names is, I think our names will still be there. Well, yeah, I know that, because I did go up, went there after the war, like, you know, and they're still there, carved on the thing.
So on this top loft or whatever it is.
Yeah, like a loft.
What were you lying on?
Just palliasses, that's all. Straw and palliasses, like, that's all.
And was your food again cooked in the area?
Yes. Well, you come out of the farm, march down the street a while, and turn left, and you went to the bottom of this little street. I just forget what they call the street now. As I say, I could, if it'd been a few years, I could remember it, but I can't remember now. Hey, you know, I think down that street now, there's a lot of new houses, a lot of new houses being built by the French. For them, it was taken away to Germany. And it was just down there, and it was in a big building where the cooks cooked, like, and you used to go down there and get your dinner there, like, you know.
Did you have any problems keeping clean in these circumstances?
Not really. You, you got I think it was about once a week he got taken to the showers, like, you know, for to get a shower, like, you know, these mobile showers. And you've got clean there. And there's plenty, well, there's plenty water in the farm yard, like, you know, and you could get yourself in there, didn't mind, and you'd stick right almost to the burn. You could get yourself a good wash like then.
And these would be in dishes or some kind of container that you had your water in, your ablutions?
Well, no, like, if I can remember rightly, there was a trough there, like, you know, the farmer didn't mind his using it, like, you know, because it used to be emptiness. Well, I said, got emptied. And just question that. And as I say, it was just primitive enough, like, you know, like, as you say. But that's what it was like, you know. And you, as I say, we also walked down there for our breakfast. And
what were you doing in the area?
Well, as I say, we did training, ACAT training. And as I say, we went to Seckland to do these tank ditches, build them. And we did so much digging and so much anti-aircraft, you say you might 2 hours digging, come off the 2 hours digging, you did 2 hours protection, aircraft protection, like, you know, with the Bren gun.
And was that constant whilst all the digging was going on, that you had to, or someone was on the anti-aircraft?
Yes,
at all times?
Yes, that's, like, you know, well, there was not only the one, like, there's other companies had their Bren guns mounted on aircraft, like, you know, they just did that, and we also have a, we do it the different day, there was Marge back again, like, you know, back to Emron, and get our dinners, and I go out round the corner, there was a little cafe just round from this farm yard, and I never get the thing. You always go in there regular, like, you know, pretty regular. Like, as I say, it was your own pub, like, you know, your own local, like, you sort of stand. And you used to just nip around. You should just come straight up and straight, almost straight to it. And I don't forget her name. She was a canny woman. Jan Picavet, they called her. Jan Picavet. And when I went back there after the war, found out it had been hit by American bomb, aircraft, blew it to bits.
And did she survive? The bombing?
I don't think she did, because they never seemed to talk after, like, about the Jan Picavet. That she must have gotten she must have gone up with it. Because they did it direct, they say, did it direct. Because, as I say, we used to go for old beer and eggs and chips, like, you know, as I say.
What were the conditions like digging the anti-tank ditch that you were doing?
Oh, it was rough, and some, you know, some parts was all right and some parts was rough, like, you know. But as I say...
Was it a deep ditch?
Well, deep enough, like, I suppose it was deep enough for when a tank got in, couldn't get out, sort of stand.
Were there any other kinds of fortifications that were attached to or part of this anti-tank defence?
Not that I know of. There might have been, there could have been, because we were only put to that task, like, you know, whether some might have done other things, like, you know, but you never got to know. Just your own face. Maybe the air company might have been doing something different. B company might have been doing something different to us, because we were with the HQ, like, you know.
How did you feel of being soldiers going to war and having to dig holes in the ground? Did you take it in your stride, or was there any resentment?
I think they did take it in the stride, like, but you often wondered why you were there, you know, what it was really all about. Was it really justified, you being there, sort of that? But as I say, you never queered the hierarchy, as you see me, mate. You never queered, you did. But you did the job. What you were supposed to do, you said, we're going to dig these trenches. You got picks and shovels, you put them up. And you still had to carry a rifle and all that. And the truck took the gun from that up there, and you just mounted it while you're there. And half of you dug, and, well, a section you dug, and then one section was sort of style on the gun. So yeah, that's how it worked out. Till the end of the day, and you could march back again.
How far was it between the two places?
Oh, well, only about 3 miles, I think. 3 to 4, I'm not quite sure. I think it wasn't really far, like, you know.
Outside of your estaminé, or little cafe that you were in an evening, were there any other forms of leisure that or games that you were doing to keep yourself occupied?
Oh, yes, in that cafe, you could... they used to have a big... like a dart thing target, like, you know, and you used to throw these big arrows, like, you know, to play... It was a posse time we were there, you know. I'll go down to them a little bit further down the street to another stand of me, and there you have a big battle organ, and you sent that away. You said, all right. I said, all right.
Were there many young French men around, or were they in the army?
Well, there wasn't a great lot. I never saw a great lot of young men. You saw a middle-aged man, like, you know, was a farmer, like, you know, looking after the farm. But you never saw a very young, same as yourself, like, you know. You know, you there would have been, likely, but I can't remember seeing any. But there could have been some kicking around.
You weren't bugling, were you? Were you
on the bugles? Still bugling then. Oh, aye. And of course, I used to do guard buglers there. Oh, yes. Because the guard bugler was down, further down the street, where this big chateau was, where the HQ officers were. Somebody dropping something through the letter. Whoops. And... That's what you're there, down there, you say, Mount Guard, down there. And young officers, like, some of them didn't know much about Guard, you know, then. You're just learning then, young officers.
Who was your company commander at this time? Or your headquarter company, wouldn't it be?
Headquarter company was, where was it now? Is that many? But patched in my time, I can't think.
Had you the same lieutenant in charge of your anti-aircraft?
Well, we had a young officer called Wormold. And I think he left us around just after the gaff or something, just before the gaff, I don't know. Wormold, he belonged to Darlington, little officer.
What was he like?
Oh, it was canny, because he, as I say, he hadn't very much idea of the art, you know. He just learned, and he used to learn off the lads, such as us buglers, how to go on.
Did you resent that in any way, that he's a man in charge of you, yet... Do less about soldiering than you do?
No, I don't think so. Like, you maybe did, but I can't say it bubbled over in that sense of the word. Just that he often used to say, he don't know more than me, do, like, you know. And you just have to learn, like the rest. And as I say, we used to say, do God be ugling down there. That's the last post, Rivali, and all the call that went.
So a guard bugler sounded the calls for various events during the day.
During the day, right through the day. Orderly sergeant, he wanted the company officer, he said, company man, say, when all his hands blown, say, and he used to blow it and he used to come.
So there was a call for bringing the orderly officer out as well?
Yes, the orderly officer.
So how many different calls were then that you would have?
There was a valley, last post, coke house, lettuce, cyclists, retreat. Oh, there were so many calls, you know. So as I say, I'm forgetting how many calls he is, but I used to play them all.
What were you doing when the word came through that the Germans had started their advance into Belgium and Holland?
Well, we were in Emmer at the time.
Do you recall what you were doing at that time?
Well, I don't know, really. I think we're just doing our normal duties, like, you know. And we've got the order to pack up all your gear and thing you, and off into Belgium. Into Belgium, through what I call it, that place. Mouchine, I think it was. I think Mouchine, isn't it? It's on the borders, isn't it? I think it was Mouchine, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, we moved up so far into Belgium.
Do you recall that journey?
Oh, I was all right going up, like. Then when the...
Were the Belgians greeting you as you went through?
Oh, they were all waving, like, you know, as you went up. And such as that. Then we were up... I was forgetting the place we were at, like, where we were at the dig in, like, you know. And then we got there.
Was it a town or a village or a river bank or
just not far from, I think, a little village of a fair well, but I couldn't tell you the name because you never got there to see it. And it was the time we landed, it was dark. And we were there and we got the order to come out, retreat, like, you know.
Do you know how long you were there when that order came through?
I don't think we were in that long, maybe a day or a couple of days, I'm not sure. We come back out, and by then we were coming out, the roads was stacked with refugees. You couldn't get past, like, you know, we rid most of the way with the anti-tank, with the anti-aircraft guns, like, you know, guarding the column.
What kind of speed then was your vehicle moving in a marching column? Was it the speed of the march?
Well, just that's all it was, you know. We just travelled with the lads. Oh, and Colonel Miller was the CEO then, Colonel Miller. I don't know if, let's say, the company commander might come to me, back to me,
What was the weather like and the conditions under which you were moving?
Warm. It was a warm, I think it was around in the early part of the thing, like, you know.
Summer.
Summer, aye. Because it was warm. The lads that was marching, they went through the line company, went through, Musa went through, Elvis got us there, Martin, all the kit and everything, you know.
Did you find yourselves putting lads onto your truck to give them a spell of travelling?
Well, not to be, I'll be honest and truthful, we didn't let anybody on without the officer give permission. You see what I mean? We were putting all the lads on, like, if we, yeah, like, would you didn't put them on in case you were...
So each of your trucks would have a Bren gun?
Yes.
And how many crew do that Bren gun?
How many crew? There would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, I think. 6, yeah.
And did that include the driver?
Yes. Well, and the NCO in front. And... we just going up there. We the stop, the lads stopped every so often, like, you know. And I can remember coming through Belgium, and this brewery. This brewery was there.